Okay, I left the order.
So we started discussing some issues of mitzvahs d'rabbanan. We first contrasted Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, and then we went into the different types of halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. That halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai mefureshes and mechudeshes. We had different halachas by Mila and Priya. We discussed by Arwa and Chutzlaretz and Revai and Chutzlaretz. And we discussed Kohen, Arul for the Avoda. And we went into the differences whether you could have Onshim or not. There's one other thing on Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai where they point out that there's a difference between halachas we learn out from the Yud Gimel Midas, the 13 principles. In fact, there's an interesting Gemara in Gin, I think it's Daf Samach, that has a machlokes among the Amoraim. Is there more of Torah Shebaal Peh or more of Torah Shebiktav? So at first it seems like a strange machlokes. Look at any Sfarim shelf and you see a couple of the 24 books of Tanakh, and then you see all these Gemaras, Midrashim, etc. So I think it's Nachla Shiva, I heard from Rav Schechter that he says this. The machlokes over there is when you learn something out of the Yud Gimel Midas or Torah Nedreshes Behem, is that considered Mefurish Bekra? Is that considered Torah Shebiktav? And of course, it's not literally Torah Shebiktav. That's what we'll see when we Brit Mila Zdocha Shabbos. One reason is Mefurish Bekra. It's not Mefurish Bekra. This is by Yom Hashmini, and the Gemara is by Yom Afilu B'Shabbos. So it's something which a Gemara learns out directly through the din d'oraita, so you can lead us. That's a discussion. Whether it has the din of Torah Shebiktav or Torah Shebaal-Peh. That's how some Achronim learn that issue. But either way, so the Gemara, the Rambam, and others make a distinction.
What is Torah Shebaal-Peh? They exclude.
Yeah. No.
You can lead
us. No. Other thing. No.
From Torah Shebaal-Peh.
That's not the lot of other Torah Shebaal-Peh. No. There's a lot of other. You give us only one part. There's many other ways. There's many different aspects of Torah about that. Right, but that's
a big chunk of
it. Exactly. No, it would be a big chunk. I thought they would say the majority of the Torah is Torah Shebiktav, then. That's good for the issue. Most of the Torah is Yud Gimel Midas will be learned out. So whether the majority is Torah Shebiktav or Torah Shebiktav would depend on whether how you do that. Right, it is a big chunk, but there's still plenty of others. Even if you assume that Torah Shebiktav, the Rinwa, it's still... There's still room for Torah Shebiktav as well, right? But either way, so there's still a difference. The Rambam writes, and it seems like the Gemara in Yevamos, that on Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai you can't argue with. And once you have a Kabbalah, this is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that there's no, you can't have a Machlokas. Even though there'll be questions that Mefarshim asked, many Gemaras seem to say Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and there is a Machlokas, we'll put that question aside. But fundamentally, the Rambam writes, it is Hakdama to Shas in the Parish of Mishnayis, he says, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, you can't argue with, but Yud Gimel Midas, something which is learned out from the different principles, that a Beis Din could come along and say, on a Din D'Oraita, on a biblical law. In fact, the Gemara says how they brought the Nisach HaYayin, how they did the wine libations in the temple was different between Bayis Risha and Bayis Sheni, because the Chacham of that door said, well, no, this is the Pshat and the Chumash. But on a Din D'Oraita, you find Beis Din arguing on each other. So the fact that today the Brisker Rebbe has an interesting piece on Rus where he talks about the Gemara in Yevamos about the whole discussion about why the machlokas between Boaz and the Poni Almoni in terms of why, what was the concern about marrying Rus. So there's a pasuk in Rus, it's a very strange pasuk. He said, I'm afraid that my kids are going to get messed up. So the Brisker Rebbe asked, like, what are you talking about? Why? Because you can't go Yavo Amoni Mahavi Bakal Hashem. So you can't marry her. Why are you worried about your kids? So the Brisker Rebbe is a whole long shtickle, but one of the main points is here. He quotes from the Gemara in Yevamos, which discusses it over there. The Gemara seems to go through the whole issue of go Yavo Amoni. You can't have someone from Amon and Moab come in, and that's it. And then they go back and they repeat. The Gemara seems to repeat itself all over again. So the Brisker Rebbe learns the Gemara that originally what was the issue that he thought the Poni Amoni that what's this halacha Yogo Amoni Bekal Hashem? It's halacha from the Yud Gimel Midah Shatora Nedreshes Behen. Okay, it's true right now. You paskin Rus is allowed in. But who knows, maybe in base the next generation will come along and say, what are you talking about? You're a mamzer, you're not even in the kahal. So I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about me, I'm in. But my kids, I'm worried about 100 years from now, my grandkids, that they're going to be considered goyim or whatever. And Boaz says, no, don't worry. We have a Kabbalah. It's Kabbalah, I think, from the Beit HaMedrash of Shmuel HaRamasi. The Gemara says, we have a Kabbalah. We have Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, that Lo Yovo Amoni only applies to men and not to women. You don't have to worry. It can never be changed. But that's the Yisod. That the Yid Gemal Midos, every Beit Din looks at the Din Daraita, and they interpret it the way they see fit. But Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, in theory anyway, can never be changed. Different Gemaras, have, people want to say maybe the details you could argue over, but the Yisod in the Rambam is that. So besides last week, we had the difference between Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, Mufuresh, and Mechudeshes. There's a difference between the Yud Gimel Midos and the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, is that you can't argue it, but the whole Yud Gimel Midos is the Iker of Torah, we assume it's Torah Shabbat Peh, and that is the whole Iker. All the Gemaras and all that are basically, each generation might have an obligation even. We don't believe in precedent for the sake of precedent. In other words, if the Beis Din later generation with the details maybe of Chochma Minna, you have to be a bigger Beis Din, smarter, but whatever the details are, but if you learn the Psukim differently, you might have an obligation to go against with the previous. Not just that you can, is you might have an obligation. We'll get to the Rav Chaim Volozhin later on about how he has to kabbalah from the grow like that. But you might have to be choleh, even on a psak of the Shulchan Aruch, he says, but we'll get to that. So that's the difference between Halacha Moshe Mitzinai and Yud Gimel Midos. So we said, we discussed a little bit about the mitzvah of Lo Susser, the mitzvah l'shmoa divrei chachamim. It's a mitzvah to listen to the words of the Chachamim, or is it a mitzvah? But the fact that Sefer HaChinuch writes, it's not just Stam, any mitzvah, but it's one of the things that the Yisod, that the whole Torah is the foundation is based on, they're listening to the words of the Chachamim. And in fact, we know the famous Gemara in Shabbos, which we're going to get to the holiday soon, whether you're going to learn the Gemara, and that's another question. And Shabbos, I think Chaf Gimel, Chaf Dalet, it says, V'heichan Tzivano. The famous question of the Gemara, we're going to be making brachas on Ner Chanukah. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, etc. Asher Ketev Zav V'Tzivano. So what do you mean God commanded us to light Chanukah candles? That's a lie. Chanukah is post-biblical, it's a rabbinical holiday. How could we make a blessing saying that God commanded us? V'Heichan Tzivano. So then the Gemara goes out over the earth, and one opinion is Lo Susser. One opinion is they quote the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim that Lo Susser ben Adavar Asher Yagidu Chayimin Otoz, because the Torah tells us not if there wasn't a pasuk in the Chumash, then we wouldn't have to. But the fact that Torah tells us that we have to listen to the Chachamim, so therefore that so since the Torah says we have to listen to Chachamim, therefore it's okay to say V'tzivano that God commanded us. In fact, it's a very interesting Vilna Gaon in the Adaret Eliyo on that pasuk. Let me just give you the context. Let's just go back a step. The pasuk is talking about the Beis Din HaGadol, the Sanhedrin that it was in Yerushalayim and the Lishkas HaGazus. That's what the pasuk is talking about. It says, Ki Yipoa Mimcha, if you have a question, you're in doubt, you don't know what to do. So what do? You go to the Beis Din HaGadol. You go to the Sanhedrin. And the pasuk says, Ben Dam Ledam, Ben Din Ledin, Nega Venega, Divarit, Visharach, etc. So the Vilna Gaon has an interesting pshat on that pasuk. What's this Chumash going through? Ben Dam Ledam, Ben Din Ledin. So even though we know Torah Achasi, Torah is one, but there are many different, within Halacha, there are many different branches, and we find that there'll be different columns, different rules we use. For instance, so he says, what's Ben Dam Ledam? That's referring to, let's say, Dam Nida. Whether a woman is a nidana, and whether her husband, whether she's mutter or usher to a husband, that's dam with dam. Yes, so they had a pasuk to see. Well, you know, it says David HaMelech used to always, you know, check the dikas. You know, he got his hands like meluchluch and
dam. Not the highest court. Why wouldn't they just be involved
with the most? No, so I'm saying there was a case where they went to, you know, because they went to the local rabbi, whatever, and they didn't know. But it's a doubt that can't be resolved. If you can resolve the doubt, you know, like with Moshe said that you know, when you can't, any difficult questions come to me. What a difficult question is, but you know, when there was a question needed, there's a question needed, but it's based in Haggadah. So it says ben dam with dam, ben din with din. That's if it's a din of kosher mishpah. You're going, someone says you owe me money or not, and ben nega gnega, it's a din of tumah tzaraat. So the question is, what happens if there's a doubt in a case of
not capital punishment, capital.
No, capital punishment also is not what it's not in this. No, it is. The pasuk itself is as we're going to get to talking about Zachin Mamre, which we're going to talk about a capital. Here is this, the Vilna Gaon is making. He's just giving a shot on the pasuk before I get to
capital. You can't just go. I guess as a separate chair, but you can't just a tough question doesn't go to Sanhedrin.
No, that is the whole procedure.
It's an appeal process.
Yeah, exactly.
It has to get kicked. It goes to the lower court, then gets kicked up to the next level. There's three levels.
Right.
It's the whole process. I'm saying, but in terms of so they point out here that let's say there's different categories. There's Issa the Heter, something which is prohibited or permitted. There's Chosh and Mishpah. We know civil laws, criminal matters. And there's din of tumah. So let's assume what there is a doubt. So the Vilna Gaon points out, so we know, when it comes to a case of iser v'heter, a case of doubtful whether this food's kosher, or whether it's dam nida, so we know a doubt. We have a principle of suffix, d'oraisa l'chumra. We have a doubt regarding a biblical law with strict on. That's a suffix in cases of iser v'heter, ben dam l'dam. Ben din l'din, choshen mishpat, we have a totally different principle. If it's a suffix, so we say, Hamotzi mechavero, alav harayit. If I say you owe me $100 and you're holding on to that $100 or my PlayStation 3, whatever, so then Hamotzi mechavero, alav harayit, the burden of proof is on me. So that's suffix, if I don't bring a good proof, it's yours. So that's a rule. And a case of tuma, that depends, the Gemara says, a suffix in a public place, with Shusharab and Tahar, in a private place. So the different rules in the Issa the Heter, that's what the Vilna Gaon just points out. But getting back, the Pasuk is talking about the concept of the Beis and Haggadah. And we're talking about a concept called the Zakein Mamre. A Zakein Mamre is someone who rebels against the Psak of the Sanhedrin. He can go back in the Beis HaMedrash and learn all the Lamdas he wants, as long as he doesn't Paskin against the Psak of the Beis and Haggadah. Again, they point out it has to be someone who's Roy Lahora. If it's some Amma Arit saying something, we just laugh at him. We don't call him a Zuck. You have to be someone who could sit on the Sanhedrin or someone who's actually on the Sanhedrin. You have to be someone who's a Barachi. And if you go against the Psak of the Beitim Zakin Mamre, or Talmud Chacham, who's a rebellious one against the Sanhedrin, so under certain situations, Yechayiv Misa, you're put to death. So that's what the Pasuk of Los Sasser, actually, if you open up a Chumash, well, Sasser is talking, if you read the words of the Pasuk, that's what the context of what Sasser is. It's talking about the Beis Din Haggadah. It's talking about the Sanhedrin. In fact, the Rambam in Hilchot Mamrim, where he talks about Mamrim, rebellious one, Zaki Mamre, where he has all the laws, he even qualifies, he says, not only are we talking about the Beis Din Haggadah, but it has to be the Beis Din Haggadah of Yerushalayim. According to the Rambam and Hilchos Mamrim, this pasuk of Lo Sasser is limited only to the Beis HaGadol in Yerushalayim and the Lishkas HaGazit. That's a room in the Beis HaMikdash in the temple. Only when the Sanhedrin HaGadol is convening in the Beis HaMikdash itself in the Lishkas HaGazit, then they have the status of the Beis HaGadol regarding the prohibition of Lo Sasser. So the Rambam limits it very severely. You know, definitely doesn't apply now. We don't have a Beis Din Haggadah, but the whole source, obviously don't have to explain them why we have to listen to Chachamim today, or do we? But according to the Rambam, it's very limited. And there's another Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvah who's a little more liberal on his definition. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvah says, well, Sasser applies based in any Beis Din Haggadah anywhere. In other words, for instance, we know, everyone agrees to this fact, the Beis Din to give out Dinei Nefashos to punish, capital punishment, there had to be in the Lishkas, there had to be in the temple, because the Gemara learns that in the Pasuk HaMakom Gorim, it has to be in the actual place in order to give out capital punishment. But Beis Din HaGadol were exiled before the temple was destroyed, and they went to Yavne. So let's say the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin of 71, they went from Yerushalayim to Yavne. So did they have a status of a Beis Din HaGadol? So according to the first Rambam Hilchos Mamrim, no, the only halacha of Lo Sasar on the base of Haggadah is the base of Haggadah of Lishkas Haggadah. In Sefer HaMitzvot, he seems to say something different. He expands it. He seems to say based in Haggadah anywhere. So the base of Haggadah in Yavne, they still had a status of a base in Haggadah. In fact, it's a very interesting Sifri. No, everyone agrees only in, even according to anyone. So everyone agrees that there was only din in the fashos in the makam hamikdash. That's based on the pasuk. But we'll get to. Does that mean that they can't? I'm gonna get to the machlokas right now. So there's
each shevet had its own special makam in din and fashos. If I wasn't only
Lishkas. No, the din of zaken. So they point out like this. They say that there's a Sifri which writes, well, Sasser applies to the Beis Din in Yavne. There's a Sifri in Shoftim that writes that the prohibition or the mitzvah to listen to the rabbis, well, Sasser applied to the Beis Din in Yavne. So the implication being, the Beis Din in Yavne had a status of a Beis Din HaGadol. Because if we're assuming Lo Sasser, the Pasuk's talking about the Beis Din HaGadol, and the Sifri says that Lo Sasser applies even to the Beis Din HaGadol in Yavne, so one might conclude that therefore even the Beis Din HaGadol in Yavne had a status of Beis Din HaGadol. So in fact, Rav Zolti, in one of his Mishnah Jarvis, he wants to say, this is a Machlokas Rambam Ramban, in a different context. He wants to say, there's a Machlokas by Kiddush HaChodesh. There's a mitzvah of sanctifying the moon. Today, we have a calendar, it's all set up. But they used to go to the base, they had to say Mekudesh and Mekudesh, they used to go through a whole procedure. So what type of dayanim, what type of judges were needed in order to do Kiddush HaChodesh? So the Rambam writes, you need the Sanhedrin HaGadol, you need the real McCoy. And the Ramban, in the Sefer Mitzvot, goes crazy on the Rambam. What are you talking about? Do you need a Sanhedrin HaGadol? How could that be? Because I'll tell you you're wrong, because we know Kiddush HaChodesh, even when the Jews were in Yavne, they still had Kiddush HaChodesh. And we know there was no Beis Din HaGadol then, so what are you talking about? You need a real Sanhedrin. Therefore the Ramban says, any Beis Din. You don't need a Beis Din HaGadol. So the Rav Zolti, what's this issue? What's this machlokas here, the Ramban and Rambam? So he says, this is the issue, what we're talking about. The Beis Din, when the Beis Din HaGadol left from the Yerushalayim, the Lishkas HaGadol, from the temple to Yavne, did they still retain the status of a Beis Din HaGadol? Everyone agrees it's a special drasha, they couldn't mete out capital punishment. That's a hamakom. But still the question is, for everything else, did they have a status of a Beis Din HaGadol or no? They weren't. They were Beis Din, but they weren't a Beis Din HaGadol. He says that's the machlokes here, the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam who says that you need a Sanhedrin for Kiddush HaChodesh. Yeah, you're right. There was Kiddush HaChodesh during the time of Yavne, and we had it. The Beis Din HaGadol and Yavne had the status of a Sanhedrin, and they did it. And the Ramban says, what are you talking about? The Ramban says that the Beis Din HaGadol and Yavne did not have the status of a Beis Din HaGadol. Hence, my proof is you don't need a Sanhedrin to do Kiddush HaChodesh. So this issue, this is my focus, Ramban and Ramban seems to be over this issue, whether what was the status of the Beis Din in Yavne. In fact, the Kasha is then, according to the Ramban then, how does he explain the Sifri? We said the Sifri said Lo Sasser applies to the Beis Din of Yavne, implying that it had the status of a Sanhedrin HaGadol. So, apparently, the Ramban either will go back to Sefer Achinuch. There's a very interesting Sefer Achinuch who's choleik on the Rambam completely. He quotes the Rambam, who said it's limited to the Beis Din HaGadol. He says, I disagree totally. Well, Sasser applies b'chol makom v'chol zman, all the chachmei hador, every generation, whoever you might debate who the gedolim are, who are those gedolim, but the chachmei hador, that's who will Sasser. It's not limited to Beis Din HaGadol, it's not limited to Beis Din. Every door has their own chachamim. So there is no kasha. The Ramban could say, what Yavne did not have the status of Beis Din HaGadol, I Lo Sasser. Yeah, that's like the chinuch. The Lo Sasser applies to Kol Chachmei Hador.
Is it still limited to Zikne Mamre?
Zikne Mamre? Yeah, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to discuss that. That's going to touch on the Machlokas. it's going to be the...
It's extrapolating it out to all rabbis.
Right, it's going
to
be... That's
we're still only talking about...
Yeah, that. Right. Yeah, Zaka Mama gets it. That's the Rav Chaya is going to point that that's going to be the machlokas. I'm going to continue on that, yeah.
There's a huge difference between a decision made by Sanhedrin and a decision made by Gedolei Mador, because Gedolei Mador makes their decisions independently and can come to different conclusions, but Sanhedrin makes it as a collective. And so there'd be a huge difference in authority.
Now, right, no, that definitely turns into mechanics, and he's just saying, you know, obviously what they, what will Sarsa means exactly could be also be a machlokas. Right, it's definitely going to be different, but in terms of, we'll get into the more parameters of Sarsa in a minute, but just in terms of this in general, the Rambam limits it to based in Haggadah. The Sefer HaKhinah quotes the Rambam, and he says it applies. Right, so what he means exactly, does he mean it, we'll see it, you can't be... He's not going to mean you can become a Zaki Mamre today, as you're saying. Obviously, there's going to be a difference, but in terms of, but how do we know that people have to listen to the rabbis? That's what he's basically saying. Not the same parameters as the Sanhedrin. Right. So that's a result. I want to say it's a machlokas. This machlokas Rambam by Kiddush HaKodesh is this issue whether the Beis and the Yavne had the status of Sanhedrin or God. That's the machlokas Rambam. And Rambam will go like the Sefer HaKhinah that Rosasar is not limited to, nothing to do with Beis Din. It's a totally general rule, it's a general mitzvah, lishmoa divrei chachamim, not limited to any specific Beis Din. And in fact, that's why, that's the machlokas Rambam. It's interesting, there's one more Rambam. The Rambam, a third Rambam.
So even though, I just want to get this clear, so even though the context of the Pasuk is regarding the Zakin Mamre and the Beis Din HaGadol, the Sefer HaKhinah wants to ignore the context of the Pasuk and say this applies across the board?
He's not ignoring it, he's agreeing to the context, he's expanding it. He's saying, everyone agrees the fact the Pasuk is referring to the Beis Din HaGadol Zakin Mamre. Sefer HaKhinah, he's saying, he's giving a very liberal, broad explanation, but it's not limited to that. Of course, there's no machlokas what the Pasuk's talking about. But the question do you limit, say that the Pasuk's coming to limit, that's all it's coming to do? Or the Sefer HaKhinah seems to have broadened the definition. As we pointed out, it's not going to be the same, not listening to the rabbis isn't the same as,
right,
as we'll get to, right. So it's another interesting Rambam in the third place. The Rambam is not Dhamma to Perish HaMishnayit. That's where he goes to the whole different parts of Torah Shabbat Peh, goes to the whole discussion there. And then the Rambam writes over there, he says, you know what? And Losasar, you know what Losasar applies to what type of body a rabbi? He says, it goes up to the Chachmei HaMesorah. It goes up to Chassimas HaTalmud. It applies up to the closing of the Talmud, to, you know, he quotes the Gemara of Metziah, Ravina Ravashi Sof Hora. That when they closed up the Talmud, he says, that's the end of Losasar. So again, we have a third explanation. And in fact, the Meiri, when he quotes that Gemara, he keeps on going. The question is, why does the Rambam, the Mepharshim, when the Rambam is going through the Masorah, why does he stop at Ravina Ravashi? So the Rav and others explain, because the Rambam's teaching us the Chalshelish HaMasorah, he's teaching us the Masorah, and in terms of the Chassimah Talmud, as we'll see, that's the end of a certain level of Masorah. So what's the significance of the Rambam of Chassimas HaTalmud? I understand Beis Din HaGadol, whether in the Lishkas HaGadol, or you want to tell me even in Yavne. But why? What's the significance of Chassimas HaTalmud that the Rambam and Peirush HaMishnayot would say that the Rav of Losasar only goes up to there? So I touched on a little bit last year once, but just to review and go into it more. We went into a discussion exactly who could argue on who. We know we find many machlokasim in the Gemara, that's a given. But then we know we have Gaonim, we have Rishonim, we have Achronim. So could the Chafetz Chaim argue on the Rambam? Could Rav Moshe argue on the Gaonim? Could I argue on the Gemara? Could you argue on Yehuda HaNasi? Like, could someone argue on Moshe Rabbeinu? Like, where do you draw the line here? So,
well, didn't you say earlier that we don't have the concept of precedence? So how do you reconcile that?
No, precedence means it's the fact that one's based and passed in some way. That doesn't mean you're bound to it.
Isn't that tantamount to saying you can't argue with a previous
generation? No.
In other words, like, they're setting the,
that
precedent.
I'm qualifying the precedent now.
Okay.
Who can, now I'm explaining, who can argue on it. So I was talking about Dinam Daraisa, we were talking about that. The Beis Din, they could learn the Pasuk and tell me, this is the way you do the wine libations, they could say that. That's a Jid Gimel Midas. That's how you learn in Dinam Daraisa. Then we'll see, maybe Durab Bunnins are different. I'm going to discuss that in terms of what, yeah.
I don't think it's not so much a matter of who can argue with whom after, you know, during or after the Gemara, but rather, a large part of the Gemara are simulated arguments between rabbis of different generations. And so the conclusions that the Gemara comes to are conclusions that are very much equivalent to decisions made by a collective body, whereas arguments made by individuals afterwards are not. And so that might explain why the end of that period is the closing of the Gemara, the closing of the Talmud.
It's interesting, right? But we'll see. I'm going to give a pass from Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, right? He says like this. He says that there's a Gemara, is a famous Kesef Mishnah. He talks about how there's a Kabbalah, there's a general minhag that the later rabbis don't argue on the earlier one. But it's not halacha, but he just writes there's a Kabbalah. So what's that based on? There's an interesting Torah Tamima in Parashas Lech Lecha. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about the 6,000 years. The first 2,000 years are years of Tov Vavohu, nothing is voidness. From 2,000 to 4,000 is years of Torah, and 4,000 to 6,000 is years of the Mashiach. So they point out that what happened, you know, so the Y2K, the Jewish Y2K, what happened? So we have a tradition on Nefesh HaShe'asu Bacharon. That's the time Avram started spreading ethical monotheism, whatever, so started to speak, teach Torah, so to speak. So the year 2000 is the beginning of the time of Torah, when Avram went around, started teaching. And then the year 4000 is the time of Mashiach. So they point out that apparently Rabbi Akiva did not have this tradition, because obviously he thought Bar Kokhba was before this time, and that's what the Rambam writes. He wasn't wrong. In other words, as he writes, he was Becheskes Mashiach. You're right. He potentially could have been. Because the Rambam, there's a whole different opinions about what the qualifications of Mashiach are, but the Rambam, if people would learn the last two prakam of Hilchos Melachim, a lot of sad tragedies in Jewish history could have been prevented. Those shops are Tzvi on things, but a lot of things that, you know, the Rambam, he goes to the last two prakam. So he says, right, Rabbi Akiva, that he was wrong. It could have been Bar Kokhba, could have been. But as he says, practically, you have to see. He has to actually bring it. You know, it's not just enough to be in theory. You know, maybe the Lubavitcher could have been. But I'm saying the bottom line is it didn't happen. So according to Rambam, you can't be. So he says like this. So in fact, the rabbis told him, grass is going to grow on your forehead, meaning you're going to be buried for a long time before the Mashiach comes. Because they had the tradition about this. So they point out, so what's the significance of 2000 to 4000? We're not learning Torah now. Like, what does that mean? Torah ended in the year 4000. So the Torah Tamima suggests that was right about the time Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the time Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi died, and it's, you know, give or take around that area. So he wants to say that was the time period that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, you know, died, and that's the end of and that's why the Torah Tamima, he goes with the Kesef Mishnah and says that's why people, you know, can't argue with he says Amoran can't argue on Tanaim and all that because they closed up Shabbat. Yehuda Hanasi closed up. That was the end of Torah, so to speak. However, we disagree with that because as Rav Chanan writes in his Sefer in the Kovi Shurim, he has a whole section, Divrei Sofrim, where a lot of stuff comes. He has all the stuff, from tonight's shiur from there, maybe next week. He has a whole big piece on the different types, all the different categories. And so he points out over there that it's not true. Rav Tani Vapolik, we find many Gemaras, Rav, who was an Amora, argued on Tanam, albeit we don't see him arguing with the earlier ones, but the bottom line is, we see in theory, the rabbis of the Talmud can argue, probably passing like Rav. So if that's the case, then so what is so what's the significance of the year 4,000? And then according to the case of Mishnah, the Torah Tamima, is that the significance why Amoraim can't argue on Tanam? We disagree because we see it's not true. So what do we say to the Chazon Ish in Hilchos Treifos and other areas where he points out that that was the time? We know what the year 4,000 is. It was the end of the definition of what the Chazon Ish says is like this. Let's say in Hilchos Treifos, treif is an animal we call treifos, like non-kosher, but it's a halachic definition. You have a hole in your limb in a certain body, you know, you're going to die within 12 months, you're a treifa. So the Gemara gives us different lists of what animals are a treifa, what are in a treifa, and we see today it's not true. You know, look, different animals that the Gemara says is treifas, so what's it? So the Chazon has a whole long discussion. What do you do when the reality is different? So that's not tonight's discussion. But so in his discussion, he points out that because, no, that was the Koveya. This is when the definition of treifa was nitva in the time of this, the year 4,000, that was it. Whatever the definition of treifa was then, that's the we no longer have the ability to change the definition of what a treifa is. So he says the year 4,000, well, for certain things, it was the end of the definition of what a treifa is. So, because we assume Amoraim can argue on Tanam. So that's the case then, so we assume Amoraim can argue on Tanam. So why do we assume then, so why can't we argue on the Gemara? What's so significant about what the Rambam writes, that well, Sasser extends to Ravina Ravashi when he quotes the Masorah. He always stops at Ravina Ravashi. The Meiri keeps on going. Why does the Rambam stop? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik explained as follows, the Rav's father, that the significance of the Chasimas HaTalmud, the significance of the Chasimas HaTalmud is that was the end of the Torah Shabbat Peh, Be'al Peh. We know we have Gemaras, we have a lot of Torah Shabbat Peh B'Ksav, because Yeshar, it would have been forgotten. But he says it's the end of the tradition of the oral law orally. And apparently we see that it's a different level of Mesorah. So we assume the ones who, everyone until Chasimas HaTalmud could argue with each other, because they all had the same in theory. Again, you know, it might be prudent to argue with someone who knows more than you. That's a separate issue. But assuming all things being equal, you know just as much as the guy who lived way before you, you could argue, no problem arguing with them because you were part of the Chachmei HaMesorah. But once the Gemara was put into print, therefore we have the Mesorah today of the Torah Shal Peh B'Ksav. And therefore, anyone who comes after them, so too, that's what the Rama writes in Simcha Chafei and Chosha Mishpat. Therefore, anyone who lived before Chasimas HaTalmud, they're equal, or they could argue with each other. But conversely, anyone who comes after Chasimas HaTalmud, anyone could argue with. So therefore, even the Gaonim and the Rishonim, Achronim, the Vilna Gaon did it all the time. Mm-hmm. That was a regular practice of the Vilna Gaon to take on Rishonim, because there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, most people, you know, obviously it's not too prudent, and if someone knows more than you, don't argue with them. But we'll point out, fundamentally, there's nothing stopping an Achron to argue with the Rishon. The only significant piece of information is Chasimas HaTalmud. Anyone before Chasimas HaTalmud, that was the Mesorah of Torah Shabbat Peh Be'al Peh. Once we moved into the second Mesorah of Torah Shabbat Peh B'Ksav, as Rav Yisrael Salanter used to say, you know, like Rebbe obviously had to bemoan the fact that he wanted to keep it oral as long as he can, because one of the problems is that it loses dynamic, the dynamic of Torah Shabbat Peh, which I was talking about, that every basic could come and argue with another one. So as Rishon Salanter's words are, not in terms of Kedusha, but in this sense, the Gemara almost becomes like the Chumash, in the sense that we can no longer take on the Gemara and say the Gemara is wrong. You know, we have different interpretations, maybe what the Gemara means, but I can't say, I'm like, well, the Gemara says this, I'm saying differently. That we have no right to. In other words, because that's why Rebbe, one of the reasons he didn't want to put it down, because once you put something into print, it loses the great dynamic of the Torah Shabbat Peh, which any basin could come along and learn the psukim differently and michoe. So, in fact, that's what we mentioned last week, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that was the same yesod he had in the Rambam. We said, what was the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim? Why did some books make the cut into prophets and some into Ksuvim? We have many different answers, but Rav Chaim said to the Rambam made a distinction. It was the Nevi'im was a higher level of Nevuah, and Ksuvim was Ruach HaKodesh. So What's the pshat? Because what's the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim? Nevi'im, the Navi first gave it over the Masorah orally, and then they wrote it down.
But what's significant about orally versus written? I mean, if you think about it, written is it because it stops the interaction, the communication, it sort of stagnates it? I mean, what is it about it?
No, right now I'm saying that's one part, the different part.
I'm just asking.
No, I'm agreeing. I'm saying, I think similar. I'm saying is, but you know, the problem is they have, right, also, and apparently we just see from that, but that's, you know, Ramosha doesn't explain why, but he's saying apparently a Masorah, well, that's why number one is why should it have been Torah Shavuot in the first place? If the Gemara should have been written down, then we would have had it, you know, it wouldn't be the Torah Shavuot path. Right, so then the different reasons, you know, we could come up with different speculations why we think oral, you know, dynamic, calm down, you know, the communication, you go back, you know, these are all true, you know, I'm just, I don't know if there's one, you know, no, I'm agreeing with, I don't know if there's just one reason that's there, well, you know, all of the above, but, I'm just establishing, we see from the fact that they wanted a Torah Shabbat path, you know, therefore it shows already that that's the way it was supposed to be, and now we have that the Rambam is cutting off he makes the difference that Ravina Ravashi Tzolf Hara and Lo Sussur applies to Tzolf Hara, and we can no longer Amoram cannot be with Tanam, but anyone before Chatzim HaSa Talmud, you know, we see there's a fundamental difference in the level of Masorah, apparently, and you know, I'm open to, you know, different speculations why also, but apparently we see is that the Masorah of Torah Shabbat Peh is a stronger, higher level, apparently more reliable, you know, more stronger Masorah than the Masorah Torah Shabbat Ksav, and therefore that's the cutoff point, Ravina Ravashi Tzolf Hara.
What kinds of things would probably have been lost? You know, what kinds of things might be missing now? What kinds of knowledge?
You mean the fact that it became closed, the fact that we wrote it down, or are you just asking in general?
Well, if one of the implications of the notion that you know, before the closing of the Talmud, you know, the different, they didn't just sort of argue with each other because they had a live Masorah, and since the simple act of writing it down doesn't necessarily mean that, doesn't necessarily require, I would think that people couldn't argue with each other anymore. There must be some, you know, assumption that something has been lost that disqualifies us from arguing with them. And so what kind of thing, I'm wondering, might have been lost?
In terms of, you know, what in the Chatzim HaSa Talmud? Yeah, I mean, today we don't have, like, I'm just saying, like, today we don't have the Masorah on the Yud Gimel meters. Like, we read the Gemaras, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, and then they come out with these halakas, which we have no clue, you know, how they got it. Like, I think Rav Chaim always says, our job today is to understand the Rishonim. Now, the Rishonim had, you know, they Rishonim warned the Gemara, you know, and maybe even, as every generation went down, different details of the, you know, in terms of the principle. You know, we might have kept the bottom line, like the Gemara, like we know it's true. We believe that when the Gemara says we went up in this pasuk, but we have no idea how did they make that drasha from this pasuk. You know, so in terms of that, we don't have that. You know, we totally lost that Masorah, and I'm sure the other things. Yeah, Raj, you had a question.
Just something before, when he said that the disproof that when Rebbe wrote down that 4,000 years because of Rebbe, and then he said that this disproof was because we see Rav argued, right?
Rav Tani Vapala. Right, we see Rav Chanan writes in the same, in that shtick I told you before, in the Kobe, he writes that we find Amoram arguing on Tanam, and we pass him like the Amoram. So how could it be? How could you possibly tell me that Amoram can't argue on Tanam? It can't be true, because we see it happening in the Gemara. And we not only that, but we pass them like that, Amoraim.
So that's how it comes out. They could, Amoraim could argue with Tanaim, and post Chasimah Sashas, or Talmud, you could have, let's say, Rishonim arguing on Gaonim, or Achronim arguing on, like,
right,
Vilna Gaon, etc. It's just that break, that one break. I mean, post Chasimah Sashas can't argue with pre.
Right, that's the critical right.
The only
you'll,
fundamental.
You'll find people today quoting you the Kesef Mishnah, others saying how you can't. What I'm saying is that the facts aren't that way. And the saying is, you know, maybe they'll say that the tradition is so strong we just don't do it. Not that maybe, you know, assuming they know this, so I'm saying, but they'll know that it's not done. So maybe they'll see, maybe, let's say in theory you can do it, but, you know, just don't do it. In other words, the closer you are to the Mesorah, the higher, you know, you're greater, you're
but
not.
But in general, no,
right,
in general, the Amoraim didn't argue on that.
Right.
The exception. Rav is the exception, isn't it?
Right, no, because in general, right, but the, we're just pointing out that they could have, but exactly, but they're showing is, because I didn't
know,
I'm saying, I hear, let's say there's a shilah, Rav Moshe finds the Pascha on this. I think it might be, what I'm saying is, okay, so I'll be covered with a Rav Moshe. In other words, in theory, I could argue on Rav, I could have a different opinion than Rav Moshe. But once I hear Rav Moshe saying it, obviously I don't think I'm going to come out and pass it against Rav Moshe. I'm saying that type of thing. I'm just saying, so the point is, the Amoraim could have, but obviously if you think someone's much greater than you and they can understand the better, then you're not going to. But that's a, but in terms of, in pure, from the legal point of view, there's nothing fundamentally wrong with it. And that's why, Nitzkadnu Adoros, and the Doros are getting worse, that's not a din. That's not a war, that's a mitzvah. That's just a factual thing that the generations go. What I mean to say is, there could have been certain generations it wasn't true on. Like maybe with the Vilna Gaon, you had different generations where you had a lot of Gedolim, could have been greater than the generation that lived there. It's not a halacha like that. That's just a mitzvah that this would happen as time goes on. But you could have a Vilna Gaon or a Moshe, you know, a Moshe one time took on Rishonim also. But I'm saying, but you could have generation today that was greater than one, two, and. But it's not a halacha. That's the Rav Akiva Eger, I think, right? So it's just a mitzvah. That Niskadnu Ador is not that. But if you know more than the other guy, of course. As I told you, Rav Chaim Balajan has a Matzorah from his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, and in the Chudah Meshulash, it was censored, of course. But you have to, cause from other sefer, they quote it. But if you look inside, take it out. It says, I have a Matzorah from my Rebbe, and then it says, it quotes like a pasuk in the Chumash. About, so like a shochad, so the question mark, what do you mean, a Masorah from a Rebbe, and they quote a pasuk in the Chumash. But the point is, they left out what he said afterwards, have a Masorah from my Rebbe, that if you know, we're talking about Rav Chaim Balajan, the Vilna Gaon, if you know for sure, if you learn the Sugya, you think the Shulchan Aruch is wrong, you don't have the option, it's also for you to follow the Shulchan Aruch, you have to pass it against the Shulchan Aruch. That's the Vilna Gaon, that's the Rav Chaim Balajan. And that's the same concept. If you, in other words, if you're not Meshubah to the Shulchan, obviously, you know, I'm not, we don't easily tell anyone just to take away a Ramah or Machabra. I'm talking about Rav Chaim Balajan, the Gaon, but I mean, from the legality, we're not bound for, who said we're bound by the Shulchan Aruch?
What happens about this whole idea that basically your right hand is your left hand, etc.? Where does that go?
No, that's already, that's just your free will. Sassim and Adavar, therefore there's a Rav Chanan on that, and there's a Ramban. Number one, the Ramban writes, there's two different types of psak. There's a psak that were, I should say, a mistake. When, like, people, you know, they quote the Rashi, Rashi quotes that it seems to say, even if they tell you left is right and right is left, you have to follow them.
Right.
So the Ramban says, obviously Rashi doesn't mean that, because the Yerushalmi, the Mishnah and Krisus, thought that when based and make the mistake, they bring a karban, so clearly you don't follow. There's no halacha that rabbinic law is binding in error. That's a total mistake. Rabbinic law, in fact, I point out, I think it was Herman Wolk who wrote who had the Cain Muni. He came to YU once, and he was explaining to the students how he got the name of his book, because he said the Rashi in Chumash, that you have to follow the Rabbi, like he was saying about the captain on the ship. So the guy said, what are you talking about? The Ramban. That's not what. You have to change the name of your book because it's wrong. But either way, but the Rashi and Chumash, you know, so he's saying, and so the Ramban just elaborates and says the two types of psak, or I should say two types of mistakes. You can make a ta bidvar mishnah, as they call it, which is an explicit mishnah, explicit pasuk in Chumash you forget about, and ta b'shikol hadas. Shikol hadas is, you know, you work through the Indian. So the Ramban says a ta. The Dvar Mishnah, that's not a psak, it's not a horah. In other words, you have to go ahead and you go ahead and show the base, and look, you show them the pasuk, and then of course they'll change it. In other words, that's not a psak. That's, you know, you can't, he says that when we talk about Tos b'shikol hadas, shikol hadas means that, let's say, you have the different ways of learning. Let's say 80% learn to come out with the tzach one way, but you still have 20% people who still sit the other way. So it's not black and white. So to the end, we have to give them the extra benefit of the doubt. Not only do we give them the benefit of the doubt that we say that, you know, when we give someone, but even if you think, Nirin, you think they're saying right is left. Left is right. And so you have to follow them. Of course, if
that contradicts the Rav Chaim, he says if you work it out and it's connected to the Shulchan Aruch, it's also to follow the
Shulchan. No, but he said, no, that's what I'm saying.
Isn't that with Shikol Hadas?
First of all, he's talking about the Beit and Haggadah, we're talking about Zuck and Mamre. Well, the Rav Chaim legend is talking about today, someone arguing, he's talking about, like, you know, the Vilna Gaon, well, the Gura is telling Rav Chaim a legend. Today, the Beit and Haggadah was something else. The Ramban explained the Pasuk in the Chumash, he's saying, you can't say, well, so he's explaining, you can't tell me, well, such a rabbinic law isn't binding in error. A Torah is bar mishnah, it's not a psak, it's not a horah, it's nothing. You just show them, look, they made a mistake and they'll change. But a Torah is shikol hadas, it means that there's no black and white hakra, but the preponderance of the evidence is this way, there is a 20%, you know, making up the odds, but there is a view that they're not, you know, it's a gray area, it's not 100%, so therefore, in that case, if you're not sure, you're saying, if you think they're wrong, so then, but you know, yeah, so then a suffix, that's kipoa mimcha. When you go, there's a doubt to the base and I'll go, then you go back, right. So therefore that's the let's just summarize. So we discussed the alachal motion, the difference here, alachal motion, misinai and yudgim momidas to the dresher's hand by Rus and the pony amoni, that the Rambam writes, you can't argue on alachal motion. Misinai, even though some difficult gemaras, we need explanation, but that's the rule anyway. But yudgim momidas, every basin has a right. They're not bound by precedent. They could take, using the Yud Gimel Midos, they could argue on the Din D'Oraita, how the wine libations were done. The one basin by his Rishon, they learned the Pesukim this way, and that was fine. And then we went into the parameters of Los Sasser. The Pasuk is clearly talking about, well, we had the Vilna Gaon separating Ben Dam L'Dam, Din L'Din, Nega L'Nega, this Issa the Heter, this Dam Nida, there's kosher mishpat, and there's dinner of tumas saras. And he said each one's a different rule. Suffix the right to a chumrah on a case of itzav hetter dam nida. When it comes to kosher mishpat, hamotzi mechaber olav haraya. And it comes to suffix tumah, it makes a difference between rishus rabim and yachid. And now we said the pasuk talks about zakim mamri chayim mitza. We point out who does the whole sasser apply to. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim writes, it's referring to the Beis and HaGadol in Yerushalayim and the Lishkas HaGazis. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvah says Beis and HaGadol anywhere, the Nafkamina being the Beis and in Yavne. When the Beis and HaGadol left, they went to Yavne, did they have the status of a Beis and HaGadol? So we point out, Rav Zolotin wants to say, this is a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban regarding Kiddush HaKodesh, whether what type of Sanhedrin was needed to do Kiddush HaKodesh. The Rambam writes, you need a Beis and HaGadol. The Ramban says, what are you talking about? We see they did Kiddush HaKodesh when it was during the time when the basin was in Yavne. So clearly there was no basin in HaGadol then. Therefore, we don't need a basin in HaGadol. So the result, the point, that's proof in the Machlokes. Did the basin in HaGadol in Yavne have the status of a Sanhedrin? So according to the Rambam, yes, and you need a Sanhedrin HaGadol for Kiddush HaKodesh. According to the Rambam, no. And we said the Sefer HaChinuch quotes the Rambam and disagrees. He says, no, well, Sasser, obviously the Din of Zakah Mamre applies to the, you know, is more limited. But in terms of Lo Sasser, that applies to Kol Chachmei Hador. And we'll explain more next week based on the Tosis and Baba Kam exactly, elaborate more on the Chinuch. And then we discussed the other Rambam. The Rambam writes in Perish HaMashayat HaDama, Lo Sasser even applies up until the Chachmei HaMasor, up until Chassimat HaTamud, Ravida Ravashi Sofara. And we point out what's the significance of Osasar applying to there. We explained Ramosha Salavachip, that was the end of the Torah of Al-Peh. Why can't you, everyone before the Talmud can argue with each other, Amoran can argue with Tanan, everyone after the Talmud can argue with each other. Why can't you argue from before, from after to before? Because we had the pure Mesorah of Torah of Al-Peh was stopped at Ravina Ravashi, and apparently giving over the oral is a higher level of Mesorah. That's what we explained, like we said, Rav Chaim last week, in the terms of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, that's why Nevi'im and Ksuvim are at a higher level. And then, so we'll have, so next week we're going to actually get into, take it to the next step. There's the famous Machlokes Rambam and Rambam in terms of on Lo Tosef, the Ramban's famous question on the Rambam, because we're going to see the Rambam, we're going to get into the next question, how far does Lo Tosef go? What type of dinim? Dinim deraisa, dinim derabanan, minhagim, takonis, how far does Lo Tosef go? And then the Ramban's going to ask a kasha on the Rambam, and then we're going to get into, it's a very famous Rav Shimon Shkaf, a Rav Chaim, a Meshach Chachma, explaining the differences. We'll get into more the differences between the Raisis and the Rabbanim. So we'll stop here.